Welcome to the Oxford University United Methodist Church podcast, where each week you'll find new sermons from both our traditional service and our more contemporary journey service. For more information about our church or to contact us, please visit OUUMC.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
God, guard us and guide us and lead us, that we might hear truth from you, the truth that we need at this moment, in this season, on this day. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. All right, let's try this. Christ is risen. The associate pastor got it. It feels a little out of place today, doesn't it? I mean, 6 weeks ago was Easter Sunday. Chris led us in this at Oxford High School. There are 1,700 of you present. And when he said, Christ is risen, it was a loud, resounding moment, raising the rafters there, that Christ is risen indeed. But what I find happens is as the weeks go by, as we leave Easter in the rearview mirror, that saying begins to fade for us as well, doesn't it? All of what we celebrate, all of what we proclaim to believe on Easter Sunday begins to maybe fade into memory just a bit. And so on this Sunday, on the last Sunday of our Easter season, 6 weeks after Easter, before we get to Pentecost and before we get to the long, hot days of summer, we want to look back and remember and proclaim the great truth that what happened at Easter wasn't just truth for one day, but it's our truest hope for every single day of life. And John chapter 11 really helps us understand that. John chapter 11 is an amazing story. And just like all the stories we've talked about during this season, it's more than what we read in worship this morning. And I would encourage you to spend some time this week, this afternoon maybe, reading all of John 11. It's truly an amazing story. It's an interaction between Jesus and some of his best friends, Lazarus and Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha. And here's how the chapter starts. Jesus is off teaching somewhere, and Mary and Martha send word to Jesus that his best friend, Lazarus, is sick. He might die. And they need Jesus to come to Lazarus. If you got that word from one of your closest friends, what would you do in that moment? You'd probably get up and go, right? Immediately, you'd probably stop what you were doing and go to them. But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, Jesus stays where he is for two more days before he tells his disciples, let's go see Lazarus. And then he spends 2 days on the road. And by the time he gets to Lazarus, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And the number four is important. It's not just an off number. In Jewish understanding, what the rabbis taught is that the soul hovered close to the body for 3 days after death. But on the fourth day, it departed. So when John tells us that Jesus and his disciples arrived at the town of Lazarus and Mary and Martha on the fourth day, what the writer is telling us is that all hope for Lazarus is gone. There's no help for Lazarus. As Jesus begins to enter into the little village, Mary and Martha hear that Jesus is almost there. So Martha gets up from her house where she's mourning, and she goes to the edge of the village where Jesus is. And these are her first words to Jesus. I want you to hear them. Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Just a little bit later, Mary gets up from grieving in the house, and she comes out and finds Jesus. And these are her words to Jesus, her very first words to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The same words from both sisters. What do you hear in those words? What do you hear? Do you hear faith? I think there's faith there. They trusted in Jesus. They trusted in Jesus' power, that Jesus could have made a difference in this situation. But you also hear disappointment, don't you? The sisters feel like Jesus had let them down. They trusted him. They believed in him. But instead of coming when they called, he didn't show up on time. They were disappointed in him. And you know what it's like to be disappointed, right? You've been disappointed at some point in life. Chances are, if you're like most people, you've disappointed someone else in life. If you're a parent, you probably disappoint your children on a daily basis, right? Here's what I know is several years ago when one of my daughters was 7 years old, maybe 6 years old, she was taking gymnastics and she loved gymnastics. And one night, we had some confusion between parents at our house, and nobody went to pick her up from gymnastics. I got a text. I was sitting in a church meeting. I got a text from my wife, "Hey, you're going to get the child from gymnastics, right?" And I said, "Ha-ha, you're supposed to be going to get her tonight." And she said, "Really, do you not have our child?" And I said, "No, I'm in a meeting. Where are you?" And she, in all caps, said back to me, "Go get our child." Now, since it's Mother's Day, and this has been a bone of contention for many years, I will take the blame for that today. So here's what happened. I got up from a meeting, drove quickly across Hattiesburg to Planet Gymnastics. And when I got to Planet Gymnastics, probably some 30 to 40 minutes after the lesson was over, my daughter was standing alone in the dark by the door. And when I got out of my car and approached her, her eyes began to well up with tears. And parents, you know the look, right? You know the look. Everything was wrong in that moment, and it was all my fault. I had let her down. I had disappointed her. All I had to do was show up on time, right? For Mary and Martha and their relationship with Jesus, same thing was true. All he had to do was show up on time. Instead, they wonder, "Why weren't you here? Why did you not come when we called for you? We trusted you to show up on time, Jesus, and you didn't. You let us down." So let me ask you this morning, how old were you the first time that Jesus let you down? Were you 8 or 18 or 38 or 58? How old were you when that moment came when you prayed? You did everything you were supposed to do. You prayed diligently. You let Jesus know what you needed. You asked Jesus to come. And then the healing didn't happen. You waited for your marriage to be knit back together. You waited for forgiveness and peace to break out in that broken friendship that you had. You waited for the miracle. You waited for the job offer. You waited. And nothing. Jesus didn't show up. We've all had those moments. For some people, it's a shrug of the shoulders and a move on. For others, it takes you to a difficult place where you try to understand, what did I do wrong? If you've ever had that moment where you've been disappointed, if you've ever had that moment where God didn't show up for you, then this story is for you. Not because Lazarus gets up out of the tomb at the end, but this story is for you and for me in those disappointing moments because of what happens between Jesus and Martha, the conversation that these two friends have right in the middle of the story. Here's what happens. Right after Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Here's what Jesus says back to Martha. "Your brother will rise again." Well, Martha was a good, faithful Jew. She knew in her mind, according to Jewish teaching, that the end of all time, when time was up, God would raise all of the faithful dead from Sheol, from the place of the dead. She knew that. That's what they taught. But here's what Jesus says back to her. Jesus corrects her vision. He changes what she thinks she knows about life and death with what he says next. She says, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And then Jesus asks her this, "Do you believe this?" Do you believe this? What a question for Jesus to ask. But it's the important question. It was the important question for Martha and for Mary, for all of those gathered around Jesus on that day. And it's an important question for us. Do we really believe this? That Jesus has the power over life and death? Do we truly believe that in all of the darkness that we face in our world, that Jesus is more powerful than the darkness? It's an important question for us to consider, because here's what I find typically happens for us. We get to these difficult moments in life, the obstacles get thrown at us, we end up in a pit, you don't know how to get around something, how to get through something. And what we typically assume is that death wins. We decide that the mistakes or the failures that we've made are what define us, or possibly that the mistakes or the failures of someone else are what define them. This is what we believe. And yet, to that way of thinking, Jesus says this: I am resurrection and life. I am more than the death that you face. Do you believe this? How Martha would answer that question was important. And how you and I answer that question is important for us. Because it's easy to give in. It's easy to give in to what's happened or what is happening. It's easy to say, well, nothing will ever change. No good can ever come of this. This is all there will ever be. And yet the question of Jesus echoes across the centuries. Do you believe? You see, this isn't a truth that we simply get to celebrate one fine spring day a year with a flower cross and trumpets and grand music. This is a truth that carries us from one day to the next to the next, if we're willing to trust and believe. Here's what Craig Barnes says. Craig Barnes says, as long as we believe God is up to something, we have hope. We have hope. And when we talk about hope as Christians, we're not talking about blind optimism. We're not talking about this random idea, well, things will work out eventually. Our hope as Christians, as believers, as the people of Jesus, our hope is rooted in the truth that Jesus, above all things, is resurrection in life. Notice here that Jesus doesn't ask Mary and Martha to believe some grand theological statement. Jesus doesn't ask Mary and Martha to buy into some formal dogmatics at this point. It's simply, do you believe? Do you believe that my power is greater than any power you will face in the world? And here's the thing I want to make sure we understand today is that this, if we believe that, that doesn't mean that bad things don't happen to us. It doesn't matter that sometimes we face pain and difficulty. It doesn't mean that sometimes we don't feel disillusioned. That still happens. We still struggle day in and day out. But here's what it means for us to hold on to resurrection and life. Instead of looking at life through the lens of death, we look at death through the lens of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And we trust that there is still more to the story, more to my story and more to your story, more to the story of your family and your friends, your children and your parents. There is more to the story than this singular moment. Kate Bowler is a professor of Christian history at Duke Divinity School. When she was 35 years old, she was diagnosed with an incurable stage 4 cancer. She had a young child. And so she has struggled and written about this life that she lives now, knowing that death is coming. She wrote a book recently called Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved. It's a bestseller right now. It came out back in February. And in this book, she explores, how do you live when you face death like this? She was interviewed by Time Magazine recently. And in the interview, the interviewer asked her, how has this changed your parenting? She has a 2-year-old. How has this changed your parenting? And this is what she said about that. She said, I decided that my new parenting philosophy is that I can't protect him from the pain of the world, but I can show him that there is truth and beauty in the midst of it. And if I can make him that person, then I have won as a parent. Then the interviewer asked her this: did Christianity fail you? Did Christianity fail you? And I want you to hear what she wrote, how she responded to that question. She said, sometimes it felt like that, in part because of the stuff people said, using the Christian faith to be incredibly trite. Christianity also saved the day. You really want a brave faith, one that says, in the midst of the crushing brokenness, there is something else there, the undeniable, overwhelming love of God. In the midst of the crushing brokenness, there is something else there. That's the hope that Jesus offered to his friends Mary and Martha. That's the hope that Jesus offers to you and to me and asks you and me, do you believe this? Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. It's not just a truth we loudly proclaim one day a year. It is our truest hope. It is our battle cry. It is our shield. It is what we hold on to when we have nothing else to hold on to. That in resurrection, we have hope. When Jesus promises life, we have hope. Do you believe this? Let's pray. God, so often our faith falters, and we need to remember that the heart of what we're called to believe is not complex doctrine. It's not a bunch of rules and laws. We're called to believe simply the simplest hope, that in Christ, your love for us is revealed as resurrection and life. So we can see through the pain. We can see through the brokenness. And we can trust that you are still working. Lead us, O God. Lead us to the courage to believe. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged by today's podcast. Check back next week to hear the latest sermons from Oxford University United Methodist Church.